Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Rashmiya, moderator for this conference. Welcome to the conference call of 1Q FY12 results of Quarter Call of Agrotech Foods Limited. We have with us today Mr. Sachin Gopal, President and Chief Executive Officer. At this moment, all participants are in listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question and answer session. At that time, question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. Please note, this conference is recorded. I would now like to hand over the floor to Mr. Shirish Pardeshi. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Rashmi. On behalf of Anand Rathi Research, I welcome you all for 1Q FY12 earnings conference call for Agrotech Foods Limited. I am happy that on the call we have Mr. Sachin Gopal, who is President and CEO, and joined by Mr. Hemant Kumar Ruhiya, CFO and Head of Legal. Without any much delay, now I would hand over to Mr. Sachin Gopal for the opening remarks. Over to you, Sachin.
Okay, thanks very much, Shirish. Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for taking the time out to be able to be with us today on the call. Okay, I'll just go through the different lines of the P&L. It shouldn't take anything more than, I guess, about 10 to 15 minutes, and then we can open it up for Q&A. Alright. So first of all, as far as net sales is concerned, as you would have all seen, we had a net sales growth of about 4% before taking into account the divestiture of Rath, right, which is there in last year's basis. As you would have seen also from the notes to the account, if you exclude the Rath from the base business, then the net sales for the quarter have gone on about 27%. Having said that, the bulk of this has been driven by pricing. As you would have seen from the marketplace, but relative to last year, our pricing would be up on an average by about 25 to 30%. It varies across SKUs, right? So there is a significant amount of pricing which is built into it. Having again said that, I think the good news is that despite having taken significant pricing on the oils portfolio, we have registered a moderate volume growth versus last year. I say good because, as most of you would be aware, about two and a half years ago, when we had taken a similar magnitude of price increases, we had seen significant volume trade-offs that we had to make then. And this time, probably, given the movement of the entire market and overall, probably in the nature of which we were able to gradually increase it, it's come out better. I would say, though, that one still needs to be cautious because while across all channels, geographies, and SKUs, we were able to, as I said, register a moderate volume growth. There are channels and SKUs where we have seen weakness and softness. So we can't say entirely that the price increases have gone through the system, that this magnitude of price increases has gone through the system without any volume impact whatsoever. However, I would say so far so good overall. The other piece from a volume perspective to note is that on the popcorn business for the first quarter, we did have some impact in specific channels. We continue to experience strong growth in consumer sales, which was reflected in a number of channels. But in other channels, particularly the distributor channel, there was some amount of pipeline retail, the traditional retail, there was some amount of pipeline correction to be done in association with the bigger burst that we had done around November, December. And we saw the impact of that. And also, we shut down one plant towards the end of March. That plant is currently still shut down because we have two plants for popcorn, both of which are being upgraded from a food safety perspective. I would expect the first plant, which was closed in March, to reopen sometime in August. And after which then, we'll have to take a call on the upgrade of the second plant. This is an important activity because as Act 2 becomes a bigger and bigger brand, we need to continually invest in food safety so that, from a long-term shareholder perspective, we are comfortable that the products that we make are both tasty and safe to consume from a consumer perspective. So I would say popcorn shipments, therefore, softer than what they would have been in the prior quarter. I expect that probably some impact of this will continue to be felt in the next quarter itself, after which then, we can get back into our regular growth momentum. From a top-line perspective, just a couple of other things which are noteworthy, and I'll cover them off now. The first is, if you recall, We had mentioned last time that we had launched two new products. One was the Sundrop Slimline Spray, and the second was we made a entry into the ready-to-eat meals segment. Entry, when I say, it doesn't mean that heavily supported by way of AMP, but really the equivalent of planting the flag. I think both of these products have been received well by consumers. We are obviously very careful because, you know, we want to roll them out and feed the market as there is, as we build up demand. So at this stage, distribution for both products is still limited, but growing on a month-to-month basis. And while we will not be making significant investments, A&P investments in these categories, we will continue to roll out distribution and, you know, support them with below-the-line activity so that we are in good shape for two things. One, as and when the convenience meals market really expands, we have already, you know, taken a good placeholder position there. And second is that the spray, which will also develop into a top end of the cooking medium category, as it emerges, we will obviously have, you know, we should have clear leadership there. The third new product that we've launched is an interesting one, and you should be aware of it, which is ready-to-eat popcorn. We have been testing this for the last 3-4 months, and it looks like that, you know, it is doing well. So far, we have tested it without advertising support, but it's possible that in the near term, we may also choose to consider that. The important piece here is that it looks like the opportunity for popcorn to be consumed out of home is as great, if not greater, than the opportunity for popcorn to be consumed in the house. Now, our journey from being a 20 crore business to being a 100 crore business has taken one manner of form, and you know we have made changes as we went along, right? Our aspirations, as you know, are to make Acto at least $100 million brand, which is in the region of 400 to 500 crores. And we think that part of that route map of actually taking it and building it into a 500 crore, 400-500 crore business is also going to have a is also going to include ready to eat, which is why we've tested it now for about 3-4 months. So far, the news is good. It's also supported by whatever data we have from Nielsen, which shows that in the geographies, and there are some geographies in the country where there are other small ready to eat popcorn players, the category is pretty large. So we are feeling our way through, testing the waters, as it were, but certainly looking like it has potential. We'll have a lot of work to do when it comes to the ready-to-eat category because the dynamics of it are very different from the in-home consumption category. Shelf lives are much shorter, so the selling system needs to be oriented towards that. Freight becomes a big element of cost, so we need to, you know, master new competencies for that. But as I said earlier, I think it could be a very, very strong component of our roadmap for the future. So we are, you will see a gradual expansion of this during the course of this year, and sometime over the next couple of quarters, we'll take a call on really how much capex we need to put behind it to be able to realize our ambitions in terms of volume growth. I think that would be it pretty much in terms of net sales. In terms of the other elements of the P&L, you would notice that our A&P spend is actually lower than last year, 7.4 crores versus about 11.7. This is consistent with what we had mentioned to you in earlier calls, that during the course of the first two to three quarters, we will be investing heavily behind deploying more feet on the street. So we've made some investment choices, and so there is an element of some of that feet on the street expenses which is currently lying under other expenses. As you would have seen, other expenses have gone up from about 19 crores to 22 crores. So assuming that it's a total of about three, one could reasonably say about two out of that is in the ballpark would be on the additional feet on the street. So when you review the total A&P, just add that two back into it, so you'll get a fair picture of how much actually we've, what are the choices that we made in terms of A&P expenditure. I would say that's pretty much it from a meaningful perspective. Hemant, anything else? No. The rest is obviously close through the P&L. We have a 50% increase in PBT, a similar increase in PAD, and yeah, that covers up the quarter. So, Shirish, over from our side, and I guess over to you and for any questions that you have.
Yeah, I think, Reshmiya, you can call for the questions.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad and wait for a turn to ask the question. If you would like to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and one again. First person comes from Mr. Saurabh Pant from SBI Mutual Fund.
Hi Sachin, very good afternoon. First question is, what has been the volume growth for the quarters? Is it safe to assume it's 2%, 25 to 30 pricing, 27% revenue?
We don't actually, sir, you know, give you volume growth separately either for oils or for popcorn. So I would say, I would repeat what I said earlier, which is I think we saw moderate volume growth on oil, okay? I would say on popcorn, the volume growth was softer than what it was in the past, largely driven by what we saw in the distributor channel.
Right. But, yeah? You know, if we see the volume growth of these two categories, say popcorn mm-hmm. and Sun Drop, it's much higher than the spread between pricing and value, numbers that you throw out. So, the volume growth looks very, very weak unless, you know, there is an element of, adjustment of RUT also in the base for volumes. So, in a way, when you're saying pricing of 25 to 30, right, this includes the pricing on Sundrop and Act 2. So it doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a difference. So the volume trend is very, very low. Much lower than what it was earlier.
I would say, I'm trying to understand where you're coming, where you're getting 2% from. Let me put it, I would repeat what I said earlier. I think there is moderate volume growth on oils. Okay, in fact, there is softness in some channels. Okay, you need to be aware of that. Okay, however, on overall, there was volume growth despite the price increases, right? And our popcorn volume growth was softer, significantly softer than prior periods, driven, as I said earlier, by the pipeline correction in the distributor channel.
Okay, and this has been corrected all, the pipeline has been corrected?
The pipeline, I would say, has pretty much been corrected as we stand today. But there is also an element of, as I said, that, you know, it has taken a little over 4 months for us to upgrade one of the plants. So you will continue to see the impact of that in the next quarter as well. So some of that will be there.
And what would have been the volume, broadly, what would have been the volume contribution, volume contribution weighted on the basis of value for RUT in the base quarter?
I haven't understood that question. Sorry, can you just tell us
the volume contribution of RUT in the base quarter?
One second, I'm going to ask him whether he can help out. What does he mean? We don't report any volume, sir. We don't report any volume numbers. So, I was also intrigued by it. And I understand what you guys are trying to do. You're looking at the total growth and then you're taking what is the pricing growth out of it, right? That's how you're comparing it.
Exactly.
I would say if you do that, that's good enough, right? It's fair to say that a significant part of the growth in the top line that we've reported, once you exclude the RUT from the base business, is due to pricing. It is fair to say. There's nothing wrong with that, right? Having said that, is it dramatically different from the past? My answer would be no when it comes to oils, but yes when it comes to the popcorn business. Okay.
And what's the outlook on the same? So you say
as far as oils is concerned, Saurabh, the verdict is still out, or the jury is still out. While we've seen some amount of volume growth, we've also seen softness in some channels, and we need to be very careful of this. Because pushing through a 25-30% price increase is a significant price increase. Okay? As you are aware, the last time we did it, we had to make a huge trade-off in volumes. So far, it doesn't look like we have to make that, but we have to be, I would say, very cautious in terms of our assessment of the situation.
Okay. Fair point. Thanks, Sachin. Yeah, thanks.
You're welcome, sir.
Thank you, sir. Next person comes from Mr. Prakash Kapadia from iAlpha.
Hi, Sachin.
Yeah.
Two questions. Given that we've, exited most of the commodity segments in the oil business, what kind of gross margins could we see on a steady state basis in the oil business? except for crystal, now we've exited most of the, you know, commodity segments in the oil business. So, over the longer term, if you could give us some sense on that.
Okay, could you give me a second question also?
Yeah, and second was on the food business.
Mm-hmm.
If you could share, you know, some thoughts on what are the price points on the ready-to-eat popcorn. And, you know, off late we've been seeing a lot of grammage decrease in the popcorn business over the last 2 months. We've seen two or three grammage, you know, decreases. So, you know, what's the sense there? And even in the larger packs, we've seen grammage decreases. So, and,
okay.
And on the food business, if you could share something on the peanut butter, when do we start localizing that?
Okay. Thanks. Anything else?
No, that's it. I think two broad questions.
Okay, fine. Good. Thank you. So I'll take your three questions one at a time.
Yeah.
The first is in terms of long-term margins on the business. I think, you know, we've always said that, you know, we'll move from 10 to 20, 20 to 30, 30 to 40, right? Now that we've moved from 10 to 20, and I think, you know, we've, I would say, well established now in the north of 20, the gross margin, the way we measure it, which is net sales less cost of goods,
right,
was about 22% for this quarter, which is in line with prior year same quarter, okay? I think our next goal clearly is to get to 30 as a company. I won't be able to comment as usual on what is the time frame in which we will do it, but we are certainly working our way through to it, right? And this will be driven by largely through product mix and ensuring that pricing is not compromised as commodity prices move northward, which they have. So that would be the next goal. Specifically on the oils business, you're absolutely right. Crystal is in the low single digit range, and Sundrop portfolio, as we mentioned in earlier calls, is in the region of 30%. And certainly, you know, we should be able to maintain it at the 30%, because if we don't, then obviously, you know, from a mathematical perspective, our total margin will change. So that's one piece. As far as the foods business is concerned and RT popcorn is concerned, the RT category really plays out, at least in the HFS trade, the high frequency store trade, primarily in the 5 rupee and the 10 rupee price. So that is no different from, let's say, if you go into Bombay City and you work the somewhat poorer areas, not poorer, but less affluent areas of the city, you will find a preponderance of 5 rupees. So if you go into Bombay and you say, you want to buy a packet of Balaji or you want to buy a packet of diamond chips, you will actually find it very difficult in the traditional trade to buy packets of 10 rupees. You will largely see it at a 5 rupee price point. The players obviously are different. If you come to Delhi, then you will see a lot of OAS and other brands here, and similarly in the East. As once you, however, migrate to more affluent stores, which is probably, you know, where a number of you shop, you will see more of the 10 rupee pack. And then as you move into the modern trade, you'll see more of the 20 rupees packs as well. Okay? So I would say from a distribution expansion perspective, the 5 rupees becomes a vital SKU. And the trick is really how to make a reasonable margin at that 5 rupee price point, right? If we want to have a 30% margin, then how do we deliver a 30% margin when we're selling a packed product which has a significant amount of air in it in terms of a shipment, so you're transporting air, how do you deliver a 30 margin on it, all right? So that's one question on your price points. On the grammage reductions, I would say that is no different from what the entire FMCG industry does. In oils, it is different because in oils, you sell per liter, so pricing is per liter, and you don't change pack sizes. But let's say if you are selling any other, biscuits, noodles, any other category, the cashing becomes an important point, and price point, therefore, is important. So, yes, you have seen grammage reduction, and, you know, wherever it is required, I'm sure that will be there in the future. As of date, some companies are experimenting with the price points which are different from the traditional 5 rupees and 10 rupees. However, there is no proven data to demonstrate that actually anybody has been able to master that. Right? At least from my knowledge, there is no proven data. So until that there is so, I think yes, you will see us responding much as any other company would do. And to your last question on peanut butter, Prakash, We said earlier that we expect that by the end of this year, by the end of this fiscal, we should have, you know, been able to do production. We should be able to do production at Jhagadia. The land is currently in the process of being leveled, and then civil work will start. And I think we are tracked for that. At least at this point in time, I would be we are fine. Okay.
Just one small other thing. You know, if you could share some of the longer term perspective in terms of, you know, challenges you're facing in terms of educating the customer, especially, you know, in your newer products like a peanut butter, which is, you know, no cholesterol, zero trans fat, more on the wellness platform. So, you know, how do we intend to break the ice in the Indian customer's mind? So if you could share some of
it. Is there any other question, Prakash? Or then that we can, okay. That's it. Okay, fine. Thank you. So I think I would say the only challenge in terms of creating new categories is one of our ability to spend money behind it, right? So really it is how to figure out to, you know, be able to generate the margin to be able to spend more behind A&P. If you look at the current quarter, you would notice that our A&P spending, if you just take media and sales promotion, is about a little north of 4%. If you add in the amount that we spent on the feet on the street, that's another 2 points, so probably about, you know, total of about 6. That's certainly less than what we would like to see it to be. Last year we averaged about 7%, and I think we will be working our way through to be able to see how are we able to bring this to a more a better level of about 8-odd%. It will probably take us more than a quarter or so, but that would be our main challenge, I would say. How to fund investment in new categories. The rest is not an issue, because at the end of the day, once you have local production, you can have smaller SKUs. Those are things that are relatively easier to do. Okay?
Thank you.
All right, Prakash. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next question comes from Mr. Tarun Surana from Sunidhi Securities.
Sir, any update on the convenience meal, like how is the response from customers? And there has been competition in the category from Haldiram's as well, at a price point which are almost double than yours. So how is the category shaping up?
Good, Tarun. You must be one of the few people who actually track this so closely. You're absolutely right. Haldiram is the only other player who had actually put in a cook. Actually, they had done a cooked rice, right? But it was at a very high price point. I don't know, actually. I haven't seen much of that, but I'm sure, you know, they must be doing well. I think I can only comment on our own performance. I would say in the stores that we are, we're doing very well. We're doing very well. We have repeat purchases from consumers as much as 5 to 6 times at times. I think the concept is a unique concept. It's unique to India. Actually, we use a similar concept in the U.S. We have something there called Healthy Choice Fresh Mixers, where we mix rice with, you know, other, shall we say, curries, the equivalent of curries. So it's as I said, unique to India, but adapted from the U.S. I think it will do well, because primarily because, you know, we are able to offer consumers the advantages of being, of having a hot and fresh rice combined with the curry. So the experience is really of a very fresh meal. The other advantage is most of the recipes actually are non-restaurant recipes. So they are more, it's almost like having homemade food. So, you know, that's the other differentiating point. The rest, Tarun, I would say it's early days. We believe that this will be a big category, but we have to be convinced ourselves that we'll have the capability to get to a 30% margin. That's the critical thing. We think we can, which is why we've entered the category. But we're certainly going to have a very cautious approach on this category in terms of A&P investment, because it will take us some time to understand it, and also, you know, to understand the business model of how to do a good gross margin. Okay?
And can you also share the amount that you're spending on upgrading the plant for Act 2?
I would say, I'm not sure whether I'll be able to give you a specific number.
But has something come in this quarter in other expenses on that account?
No. The upgrade is largely by way of capital. It's an upgrading of civil, so we've actually had to redo some buildings. But I would say, as I mentioned in past calls, Tarun, is that in general our spending is kind of in the range where, you know, spending plus dividend payout is, you know, about equal to our, you know, the earnings that we're delivering, our PAT plus the depreciation, the cash that we produce, it's in that ballpark. So it's included in that total. Okay?
Also, sir, in the popcorn business, there is some local competition in the similar size and similar flavors. Any idea, like, are we increasing the overall market with the local competition, or some of the sales has been cannibalized by local competitor?
Okay. Any other questions, Tarun? Then I can sort of work my way through in terms of level up. Okay. So, I think there is some amount of local competition in ready-to-cook popcorn. It is there all over the country, including the states of Gujarat. However, I would say nothing significant. We do have a right to win, largely because of the quality of the popping corn that we, and the hybrids and the IPR that comes with it. So I would say nothing, nothing at this point in time that we are concerned about as management in the ready-to-cook area. In the ready-to-eat area, there have been some amount of local players in select geographies. And that is what actually prompted us about maybe 9 months ago to say, hey, you know what, this could be a much bigger opportunity than we had envisaged. I would say ready-to-eat, we don't have specific data to indicate how much of, if there is a ready-to-eat popcorn, how much of that comes from our own. But global data or the U.S. data would seem to indicate it will be in the region of about 25%, right? So if somebody is there with a ready-to-eat, 25% of that might come from a ready-to-cook consumption.
Okay.
Okay.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next question comes to Mr. Amar Kalkundrikar from HDFC Mutual Fund.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my question. So first question is, in Sundrop, can you confirm if the volume growth, Sundrop taken together, all variables, is it positive or negative?
Okay, Amar, it's positive, and as I said, it's moderate. Yeah? Okay? So don't read it as high single digit. It's just moderate.
Okay. So over the last 2 years, our share in the premium oil category, super premium oil category, how has it moved vis-a-vis Saffola?
I would say over the last 3 years, we would have lost share, and that would have been done primarily around the time when we took a huge price increase and we took our volume trade-off at that point in time. So that would have been the inflection point around 2 years ago. Okay. And as of now, if I look at, the current quarter, it's probably remained flat. Yeah. Okay.
But again, last year, my impression is that we would have lost volume share because Saffola reported a growth of 15% odd in volume, whereas I think Sundrop was negative. I mean, that transition where margins are being improved is also having impact on volume. Is that understanding correct?
Absolutely. And we've said that all the time. We've said that there's a volume trade-off that we made, and the inflection point of that was 2 years ago. It obviously continued, right, into more than one quarter. But the answer is definitely yes.
Sir, now where would that volume share be now currently if we take these two players only as market or category?
We would be in the range of 45 and Saffola would be 55.
Okay, and this 45 would have come down from what level 3 years back?
North of 50.
Okay. My second question is on popcorn. You mentioned that there was a distribution pipeline correction.
I'm sorry, there's a lot of noise in the background. I'm not sure where that is coming from.
Okay. Can you hear me now, sir? Better?
Yeah, I could. Yeah, it's that background noise can just be muted. Yeah.
Okay. In case of popcorn, you mentioned that there was a pipeline correction and therefore primary sales got affected. What is the status on secondary sales, sir? Secondary sales growth, rather.
Secondary will be somewhere between primary and offtake, because part of our model also, it depends on, being able to increase retail stock to increase the level of weight. If you remember, somebody had asked me this question about 3 calls ago, where you had said, how when you expand your distribution and you do the big drives, how much of it comes from where? And I had mentioned in that call, I said about a third from distribution, about a third from increasing points of sale, about a third from inventory, and about a third from offtake. Okay? So the inventory is there. It's built into both distribution and retail. So secondary will be maybe halfway between primary and offtake.
offtake, if you take the end consumer consumer purchases, is that growth rate being maintained or is there a slowdown there?
So far it is maintained as per the audit, but we are always cautious about it. We prefer to base our do our modeling and approach on on the assumption that it may not be that good, but right now offtake is very good. Yeah, it's not slowed down.
Okay, my last question is, sir, on gross margin. Run has gone out, which was very low margin product and which was almost 15% of annual sales. Yet from March quarter to June quarter, we have not seen much of a change in gross margin. Can you share some thoughts on this point?
I won't be able to comment on quarter four versus quarter one, but let me compare quarter one versus quarter one of prior year. Okay, and hopefully that should answer your question, right? Okay, so... as I mentioned earlier, our gross margin for this quarter is pretty much the same as it was the last year same quarter, which is 22%. Now, there are two factors which are playing here. So here is the thing. There are two pieces to the margin here. On the one hand, there is a substitution of top line sales from Rut, which was a low margin business, right, of about 4%, with a relatively higher margin business of Sundrop, right, which is the consequence to a large extent of the pricing that we've taken, right. On the other hand is the fact that our foods business, which would otherwise have grown significantly, did not register the same kind of growth. Okay, so the net result is therefore, is that there is a trade-off between these two dimensions, and as a consequence of that, our margin is flat. Okay?
Okay. So, would the value growth of foods business be lower than value growth of Sundrop?
Could I ask you for all your questions, then I'll answer them?
This is the last one.
Yeah, is the question?
Value growth of popcorn's business, is it lower than Sundrop value growth? If you can give some indication of what is the extent of slowdown.
Yeah, I would say it is lower than what it was in the past. Yeah, okay. We, as you know, we've never given you specific volume and value growth figures on the popcorn business, and we like to keep that data. But it is lower than what it was in the past. Okay.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, sir. Dear participants, please press star and one for questions. Next person comes to Mr. Samir Bishay from Toriro Capital.
Yeah, hi sir. Just wanted to know some color on the A&P expenditure during this quarter. I missed the part in the beginning regarding when you clarified about the channel correction. Hello?
Yeah, Samir. Okay. So as you would see from the figures about, you can see an advertising and promotion spend of about 7.5 crores, right? That compares with 11.7. That's the 4% that I mentioned earlier in the call, right? As I had also mentioned then, there's about 2 crores which is there in other expenses which we put into distribution. So if you add that in, you're probably looking like at a total investment behind the brand of in the region of 9.5 crores. That would be about 2 crores lower than what it was in the prior year.
Yeah, so basically it's just the continuation of the strategy that first 2 quarters we'll be focusing on the distribution channel rather than the A&P spends.
Correct. Absolutely right. And then as we come towards the end of the second quarter, we're going to take a call on, whether we need to rebalance it or it's something that's working, perfectly. Then it may not be a total rebalancing, it may be part. We'll take that call.
Okay, that's fine. Thanks a lot. That's all from my side.
Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Next question comes to Mr. Jeevan Patwa from Axis Holdings.
Good afternoon, Sachin. Two questions. One is, if you can give me the breakup of A&P expenditure between oil business and the food business. And second question is, on the EBIT level, is the popcorn business, the food business is making money, or is it like still not able to reach the break even?
Even we don't provide details. I'm sorry about the breakup of the ENP, right, Hemant? We've never provided that. So it's something I'm afraid. I apologize, but I won't be able to give that to you by brand. Okay. As far as the food business is concerned, which is primarily popcorn, as we've said,
earlier in the prior years as well, that, you know, it was we've been investing behind it, so it hasn't made money after marketing expenses so far, I mean, in the past, and therefore certainly would not be making money at an EBITDA level, right, given the fact that, you know, after marketing there is a SG&A. However, I think we're getting close to where it will start making money. I can't tell you exactly which quarter that will happen, but certainly directionally that's something that we need to do. And we need to do that for one very clear reason. As we go forward, we have new products which are in the pipeline. They will need investment. And therefore, you know, we will have to come to a model where our business becomes self-sustaining, both from a A&P perspective and from a distribution perspective. So hence, you're probably going to see some changes in the business drivers going forward in the next, I would say, year or two. But we are still in the process of formulating those, right? But it is required to be done, especially once peanut butter localization starts.
Okay, great. Thanks, Sachin.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, sir. Next question comes from Mr. Karan Gandhi, an individual investor.
Hello, sir. Thanks for taking my question. I just wanted to understand, you've introduced ready-to-eat meals. So I wanted to understand, what is that product exactly?
Yeah. Okay, I think the product is in the market. So, okay, all right. It's just a combination of a rice palau mix with a curry.
Okay. So how does this compare with MTR, Haldiram's, or, sorry if you've answered this question earlier because I just logged on late. If you could give a comparison versus, you know, the Tasty Bites, Ready to Eat, or Haldiram's, or MTR's, or Kitchens of India of the ITC. In terms of price points and what exactly, how do we intend to differentiate ours versus theirs?
At this point in time, Karan, the differentiation is primarily by way of the product offering, which, as I said, is a combination. And as one of the other folks on the call mentioned, I think, he'd done the work that actually Haldiram had a similar product. That was the only other people who had it. At this point in time, in terms of product, the differentiation is primarily in the offering. Right. Clearly, however, going longer term, we will have to have more than just differentiation by offering, because the offering can always be replicated by somebody else. That's the point in time where the differentiation in the brand and what the product stands for will start to get created, and which in the longer run, therefore, will be able to give us a margin in line with our expectations.
Okay. And do you expect the gross margins from this particular also to be north of 40% in line with our other value-added packaged foods?
Okay. So that's one question, is you want gross margins to be north of 40%. And what is the other question, Karan, would you tell me?
And how do you see this? So, when you've introduced this particular product, do you see it in 3 years or 5 years time? Because I would like to understand, how this would contribute to our overall business in 3 to 5 years time.
Okay. Any other question, Karan?
At the bottom line, when do you see this product start contributing? That's it.
Okay, that's it? Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Good. So first of all, I think, I will answer the three questions. First, in terms of gross margin, I would say our immediate goal is to get to 30, and therefore the benchmark that we set with all the products that we launch is that we need a gross margin, at least we need to see the potential of the gross margin getting to 30%. At this point in time, it's not validated that RT can give it, but we believe that with the right business model construct, it should be possible. Okay. So at this point in time, we're not looking north of 40. We're looking at north of 30. All right. The second question is, how do we see this 3 or 5 years time? I think probably in 5 years time, the ready-to-eat convenience meals category is going to be a much bigger category than all of us think it is. Most of the focus of the current players has been really, of a number of the current players, has been on the export market. They sell maybe 2 to 3 times in the export market, but they sell in domestic. Our focus is entirely on the domestic market. One of the reasons why the current convenient meal offering are, you know, in the region 45, 50, 60, 80 rupees is because at this point in time, there is so much profit which is being earned from the exports of this product that presumably, you know, the players don't really feel the need to be able to, need to go down in terms of cashing. We believe the Raja convenience category is going to come from people who are currently, you know, using, who are only operating in 20 rupees, 15, 20 rupee price point, and therefore our pricing is in the region of about 35 and then, you know, 45 rupees. So it will be a large category. In terms of bottom line, I think probably the bottom line in a category like this is going to come from a reasonable margin, relatively low A&P because of the size of the category as it grows, and then, you know, coming through scale and making a contribution to the bottom line. So when is it going to exactly make a contribution? I'm afraid I won't be able to give you that answer. But from a scale perspective, certainly the category is very attractive in the future.
Okay. No, I actually was looking at something in terms of, you know, what kind of contribution are you looking for this category to have to our top line, and in terms of timeline, you know, if you could just give a broad color, let's say after 2 years, do you see it start contributing to our PBIT or EBIT or something?
Okay. Was there any other question or no?
Yeah, and you know, I have tried to look at this locate this product in Bombay, but I could not locate it. So if you could also tell me where is it available.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Yeah. To your point about you know, when will this category be large? I think it's going to be large. I won't be able to give you a specific glide path in terms of FY12, 13, 14, 15, right? You know, the fundamentals in terms of people needing to eat ready-to-eat meals, I think the scenario is evolving, particularly with working couples, right? And also a lot with students. But that point of transformation and inflection, I'm afraid I won't be able to comment on. But we certainly see it as a big category in the future. That is why we're in the process of planting a flag. Regarding distribution, yes, the distribution is in a select number of stores, and the reason for that is that we are distributing wherever we have the capability to have promoters, right? But I don't know which part of Bombay you live in, but I think if you go into the city of Raja beyond Andheri, right? In Orbit Mall, you certainly, next to In Orbit Mall, you certainly get it there. Okay?
Yeah, thanks for that.
You're welcome, sir. You're welcome. Have a good day.
Yeah, same to you.
Thank you, sir. Dear participants, please press star and one for questions. Next question comes from Ms. Ruchi Rudra from B&K Securities.
Hello, sir. I just have one question. If in case you can provide us with the split between the super premium oil and the normal sunflower oil in terms of margins, gross margins that they have.
Okay. See, our range varies from single digit in terms of gross margin up to the 40% plus mark.
So we'll have the super premium at the higher margin scale.
Yeah, correct. Which should be the case, right?
This is for the whole year also, you see the same thing coming in?
Yeah, our endeavor should be to, you know, obviously have more and more in the 30 and the 40% mark, okay? So yeah, the answer would be yes. It's always a challenge because as commodity prices move northwards, that actually puts a pressure on the percentage gross margin, right? Because you know, the denominator on which you're working becomes bigger and bigger.
Okay, just one follow-up question on that. Which one would have a higher margin, the canola oil, the fresh light, or the Saffola Heart, which has curdy and rice bran?
So our brand is, I won't be able to give you a figure on what is Marico's margin on Saffola.
No, sir, just which one is higher for you, Fresh Light or Sundrop Heart?
Okay. No, Sons of Heart will definitely be a high margin. It's a differentiated product with a clear reason, right? And a clear proposition which says that, if it has orezanol which reduces cholesterol, and products with a differentiated positioning will always have a better margin.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Thank you, ma'am. Next question comes from Mr. Nitin Gosar from Religar AMC.
Hi, good afternoon, sir. I missed a comment on gross margin, which continues to remain at the similar level or lower level post-halving of one of the brand Rath. Could you please comment again?
I mean, I've given a number. So if that's what you mean, I said that our gross margin, the way we record it, is 22% in this quarter, and it's similar to the 22% that we had in the prior year.
No, let me put it in this way. Rath was considered to be a slightly lower gross margin product, and once that was out of the revenue, your gross margin would have been, slightly in a better, should have been in a slightly better position.
Okay.
If it is not so, then if you could, put some light on the same.
Yes, you're right. Then you're right. I think I started to elaborate and then probably didn't complete the train of thought. Okay, thank you. Thank you for raising that. Okay. Yes, you're absolutely right. Here's the point that when we substituted a relatively low margin business like Rath, which was at about 4%, and we substituted that with a Sundrop business, right, which is in the range of 30%, right, logically there should have been mathematically there should have been an increase in the total gross margin. Okay. Mm-hmm. However, the fact that for the entire quarter we were running off one plant, right, our margins in the food business got impacted because we were basically, let's say, shipping corn all the way from Bombay port to Kashipur and then bringing it all the way down to Chennai, right?
Okay.
And also when you have one plant operational versus two, then the manufacturing overhead charge on a percentage basis tends to, get magnified, right? The consequence of both of that, right, meant that the benefit that we should have seen from replacement of the Rath business by the higher margin Sundrop business got offset, and as a result of that, we had a flat margin versus prior year. Is that the answer you were looking
for? Perfect. Yeah. Thank you.
Then you're spot on. Thank you for raising that point. I should have completed it myself.
No issues. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. There are no further questions. Now we hand over the floor to Mr. Shirish Pardeshi for closing comments.
Yeah, hi Sachin, I have two questions. The first question is that whatever price increases you have taken so far, does it cover your entire inflationary cost? And if not, what are the actions you guys are taking? And the other question is that, as what you have just commented, because of the factory and because of the new plant, this thing has got little dispersed. So you think that there is some corrections is scheduled to happen in next few quarters, or this is the one time?
Okay, so to answer your first question, Shirish, I would say we have recovered across most channels and SKUs, we have recovered the margin in absolute terms, in terms of rupees per ton. However, we would probably have not recovered the entire percentage amount. Okay? Meaning that as price increases go up, you can recover the, even if you recover and achieve the same gross margin per ton, it can have a dilutive impact in percentage terms. Okay? So, we've recovered the part which is in absolute terms, but we probably have to work our way through to seeing in terms of percentage how do we achieve that. Okay? As far as the foods business and the impact of the plant closure and pipelining, I would say the impact of the pipelining is more or less done with from all that we can see in the market. In terms of plant closure, that's still going to have an impact because, as of now, we're still to restart the plant and we're pretty much into the current quarter. So we expect to continue to see the impact of that in the current quarter. And then probably after that, we'll evaluate because we also need to see how to gradually move up our media investments behind the brand. So there's some amount of work being done. It gets complicated, obviously, by the huge RTE opportunity, which needs a somewhat different manufacturing strategy because you can't do with RTE what you do with ready-to-cook because the cost of freight is so high. So we currently have two plants, and if you really want a ready-to-eat presence, you probably need, at least three or four and optimally maybe even 7 to 8. So we are still working our way through on how we are actually going to achieve that. Yeah, we'll probably have a clearer idea on that in the next 2 quarters. So you're going to see some amount of we'll keep sharing our thoughts with you, but you'll see some amount of this discussion going on probably in this quarter and the next quarter, and then so that we are in a position to continue to grow by whatever significant rates we were growing at of north of 50%, so that we can get to our goal of about $100 billion bread.
Okay. Just one question for Hemant. It's more of housekeeping. What is the cash on book and how much capex we are going to commit for this full year?
Cash on the books in fixed deposits is as of 30th June, 24 close. And capex, as Sachin mentioned, we commit only as much capex as we earn from profits and obviously the portion we set aside for depreciation. So I don't think we will go beyond that.
All right. So I take this opportunity to thank you, both the gentlemen, for being present on the call. And I also thank all the participants for making this call more interesting. On behalf of Anand Rathi Research, I thank you all. And now I'll put you to Sachin for the closing remarks. Sachin?
Okay, well, Shirish, thank you very much. Thanks to all of you for having made the time to take the call. We remain committed to giving you, making things as transparent to you as is possible. And we look forward to having the next caller.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Have a good day.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes our conference for today. Thank you for your participation and for using Doorsabha's conference call service. You may disconnect your lines now. Thank you and have a pleasant evening.